All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Attraction Japan podcast. I am here with the man, the myth, the legend, the mad genius, Dr. Dorian Gray.
Attraction Japan.
And I guess we go back about, what is it, maybe 7 years now, almost eight, when I first took a boot camp. I paid money on the over to meet somebody from the internet who was going to teach me the wild ways of approaching and seducing women, and I had really no idea what I was getting into, but he seemed to know what he was talking about. And this was back in the day when everything was just over text, over forums, so there's no line groups. It was still in the days of Sekigaisen and old Galake phones, so I had no idea at all what I was getting into, but
I didn't rape him.
Yeah, my anus came out intact, and well, 7+ years later, and my life is completely different. So, pretty excited for this one, and would like to welcome Dorian Gray.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. I think it was about 2011. Tail end of 2011. It was actually the second BC that I was teaching, so we got in on the ground floor, kind of. And it was, like, pretty much a totally different world. I mean, I think I got my first iPhone maybe, like, about a month before that, and it wasn't by any means super common either at the time. So, yeah, people were still running with clamshell phones and doing the infrared transfer of Sekigaisen. So it's definitely kind of a different world, at least as far as game goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sort of saw kind of a changing of the era in terms of game, as far as, you know, it started out, as I said, on forums and everything. And even before then, I think there were like random Yahoo groups or something, or people were communicating on email and stuff. What's the, like, the biggest difference between the game community now and the game community when you first started?
Yeah, it was definitely, we were all posting on forums and it was very text-based. So one of the big differences was that you just had to kind of, like, take people at their word. So I think we were talking about this the other day, where one of the jokes on the old site was that no girl under, like, HB7 ever appeared in a report. And we just had to kind of take everyone's word for it. So, it was a bit more kind of shadowy and underground than it would be maybe now, where you can just directly, you know, communicate with people via LINE or smartphones. And in terms of how it was just overall different, there wasn't really like a lot of the assumptions that we would sort of take for granted now. Not many people were really doing street. Most people were still confined indoors, as if on a rainy day, going to bars and clubs and international parties. And I think a lot of the foreign gamers tended to, like, stay, like, in their little bubble a lot more. Again, in terms of international parties or exclusively going to foreigner-oriented bars. So we're still kind of in that, like, I guess you could call it, like, seduction community hangover phase, where people were very much trying to, like, fit, you know, a square peg into the round hole in Japan, trying to apply, like, very westernized kind of game approaches and methodologies to Japan, kind of to the extent that they weren't even really, like, super paying much attention to the culture. So that's probably the biggest difference. Like, it feels a lot more integrated now.
Yeah, it seems interesting. Like, I remember you mentioning that when you first joined, people were like, what? Talking to girls in the street? Yeah. Bringing them to hotels the same day? What? Like, what?
Yeah, it was... I posted these, like... I think this was, like, 2009 or something. And, like... It was about 10 years ago. And I was posting these, like, street SNL kind of, you know, field reports. And... And I think with the first ones, like, people just didn't really believe me. They were like, oh, but didn't you know her before? Or something. Or like, oh, but didn't... You know, so it was kind of like out of people's... I won't say it was out of their reality entirely, but it wasn't... It certainly wasn't common. And if it did happen, it was very much seen as just, like, something that magically, inexplicably happened and was by no means replicable or, you know... even really, like, understandable, you know, so it was still kind of conceptualized in terms of this, what was it, like, fool's mate or something, where you just magically got lucky or something, so no one was really, when it did happen, like, no one was really looking to, like, consistently do that, so, yeah, the first couple of times I was posting about it, people were just kind of like, well, how, like, what, like, I don't understand it, or, did this really happen, right? So, yeah, that was kind of, even SNLs weren't seen as being super common or replicable. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's maybe some people from back in the day, who will hear this and, you know, maybe challenge me on it, but I would argue that was basically the case. And the majority of foreign gamers weren't really, like, looking to consistently pull from the street or spend large amounts of time exclusively on the street trying to pull.
Mm. It seems pretty different. Like, it seems like people weren't really paying that much attention to what Japanese guys were doing, and it was more like taking stuff from the West and just importing it, right?
Yeah, it was very pasted on. I think if people did associate with Japanese gamers, they did it in a very... kind of like gloves on way, or like they would do it with, you know, Japanese dudes who were already speaking English or were kind of internationalized. So there wasn't really this mindset, or they would see, you know, Japanese gamers as being this, you know, kind of impenetrable other or something. So there wasn't really the mindset of like, we might as well just look at, we might as well just objectively look at who's getting, you know, the most desirable girls and then try to model ourselves on that, which again seems pretty obvious when you think about it, but it definitely wasn't the, you know, standard approach at the time, except for maybe New Breed. Again, I always kind of point out New Breed as kind of like the father of Japan game, because he was really the first Western gamer who was taking kind of an empirical approach of just, let's see on the street who's with the most desirable girls, and then let's try to, you know, kind of reverse engineer how they did that. Yeah. Without really needing much, you know, pre-existing, you know, ideology or game ideas or anything. So he was, at least at the point when I came in, he was the only one who was kind of really, really doing that on any kind of basis.
Hmm. It seems like he also drew a difference between, you know, girls that foreign guys are interested in or find attractive and girls that are attractive to Japanese guys in their own country, right?
Yeah, well, he was pretty strict about that. And he would base it, yeah, entirely on what he would see Japanese guys with as opposed to what foreigners were getting. So that's kind of where this... I feel like that's where this kind of divide started, where people started joking about, you know, these rather, you know, black-haired, you know, white-skinned kind of moderately attractive girls named Kaori or Akiko or something. That's kind of where this... this kind of a distinction came in, whereas before I think like most people just assumed that was what you would go for, that was what you would get, right? So New Breed was I mean, I was independently trying to get, you know, approached and talked to, you know, gals, gyaru, and more kind of like night worker girls on my own in, you know, like 2006, 2007. But I wasn't aware of any other foreigners doing it or interested in them.
Well, you also kind of, it seemed like you started a lot like on an island, so like quite literally, but also metaphorically.
I did, yeah. I mean, I was living on Tokyo. I was living in Tokyo before I moved to the island. But even in that sense, like I wasn't really aware of any. I was mostly just doing solo game. I wasn't really, or gaming with Japanese gamers. So I wasn't really like aware of much of like a foreign gamer scene. And I wasn't even particularly aware that there was like a seduction community or this kind of you know, this kind of scene around. And so yeah, New Breed was the first person I really talked to who was kind of coming from the same place and trying to get with similar kind of girls. So he's probably the person I would highlight as kind of like the real father, kind of initiator of modern game in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because if you look at, like, for example, like on the playbook right now or in line groups, what everybody's doing, it's like, I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of people who are doing the international party kind of circuit thing, but there's comparatively like a massive amount of people doing street approaches, either solo or with other guys, and it seems quite different from how it started out, right?
Yeah, it was definitely different. I mean, I think the again, when I really started quite consistently and not really aggressively, but certainly consistently doing street about 10 years ago. Yeah, it was very, there was definitely no expectation. I mean, I think the starting assumptions that more recent gamers come in with is very much that it is possible to pull on the same day from the street or really essentially from anywhere. And I don't know too many people who were coming in with that assumption back in the day. I mean, I think most people were just happy to have like an agreeable interaction on the street, if anything. None of the people I was really gaming with were super pushing for, you know, immediate bounces or, you know, immediate kind of action on the street at the time. So that's certainly, starting assumptions have certainly evolved a lot in that sense. And I think the initial starting standard of game is a lot higher too. I mean, the people who are coming in now seem a lot more focused and motivated in general than they used to be.
Yeah, I guess that kind of ties into this next question a bit, because, you know, you and I have talked a bit about this in the past about how there was sort of like an old eon mentality or way of approaching game and going about it and what should be expected, and now we're kind of at the upswing or the dawn of the new aeon in a certain way. I wanted to get your thoughts on what exactly you think the new aeon is.
Well, the new aeon, I would say, is essentially just the realization. I mean, when we kind of declared that, I think it was about a year ago, it was just kind of the realization that foreign gamers are able to engage with really any kind of woman, Japanese woman, in a Japanese context, and not be massively inferior to Japanese gamers, which again, New Breed and myself were, that's what we were forced to conclude prior to that. I mean, if you were comparing Japanese gamers or just even random Japanese guys to what foreigners were going for and getting, I mean, it was just like no contest. Like there was no, No one was remotely able to compete in Japan on any kind of equal playing field, which again, I think is kind of interesting because, again, there's, especially still with people who maybe haven't been to Japan or just kind of, you know, looking in on this from, you know, another country. I mean, I think there's still this assumption that, you know, Japanese men are these kind of, you know, repressed, shy kind of herbivores. And you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of ethnocentrism or kind of a bit of, you know, a bit of misplaced pride in that. Because again, reality couldn't be anything, you know, more from the truth.
It doesn't help that there's like kind of a myth that people can just come over and instantly get laid all the time, left and right, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, I mean, like, that's the myth that it, you know, the myth that Japan is this, like, third world colonial port or something. and also kind of the myth that, you know, Japanese men are these very shy and, you know, retiring kind of, you know, whatever. So, and again, like, the reality is completely, like, a 180 from that. You know, some of the really aggressive Japanese gamers are some of the most aggressive probably in the world. Mm. And they are very consistent, very persistent. And until, and again, I think until recently, foreigners weren't really able to hold their own, honestly. You know, if you looked at how they were gaming or the kind of girls they were getting with. So, but I think, I would say within the past 5 years, I mean, I think that's certainly... I think the foreign game community in Japan has sort of pulled itself up by the bootstraps a bit and can kind of hold its head a little bit higher. So for me, that's what the new Aeon is about, is just coming in on a bit of a more equal footing and hopefully having a bit more realistic starting point to begin with when assessing the place of foreign gamers in Japan. But I do think that everyone's really... I think that the kind of more ridiculous or kind of misguided elements from the past have been kind of like redeemed in the past maybe 5 years or so. And I think everyone's results are a lot more respectable and kind of on an equal footing now with Japanese gamers. So I don't think there's, I would say certainly in the present, there's not really anything that is out of our reach at the moment, provided we come in respectfully and look at things accurately and actually go for it hard enough.
Yeah. It's also really interesting to think that, you know, I mean, if, and this is coming from, you know, I myself, from having same kind of expectations as a lot of foreigners coming over here, being like, oh, Japanese guys are going to be weak and incapable and sexless and all that. And then coming over here and having kind of the opposite, some of the opposite experiences in clubs and stuff, where dudes will come over and just, some girl I'm clearly talking to, and just grab, like, pull her, put her arm around him and be like, my girlfriend, and then just walk away with her. And I was like, what the fuck?
Right.
So it's easy to kind of cultivate a bit of either, I don't know, apathy or resentment towards, like, the Japanese dude in general. But what does that say about, like, how is it possible for you to like half of a population? And what does it say about, like, your respect for sort of the way that they have relationships if you are just a hater of Japanese dudes, right?
And I think that kind of starting point is often a common kind of starting point for what I would consider like a beginning foreign gamer in Japan, which is this kind of a sort of multi-purpose resentment against Japanese men, or, you know, dislike or disdain, you know, from whatever position it's coming from. And I think not only is that misguided, but it's not gonna, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't just ignore an entire half of the country. And I think if you're only paying attention to Japanese women or Japanese girls, you're actually going to get quite a distorted view of the country and kind of view of relations in the country too. And especially in what we would now call the old Aeon, this was very common. I mean, you'd have these foreign gamers who were exclusively associating with Japanese women, or they were learning all of their Japanese language from like their girlfriend, or so they would get a quite distorted view of, you know, gender relations or game relations here, and they would end up with a kind of, I want to say, like, crippled, you know, game approach as well, because again, I don't feel that Japanese women really want, you know, a mirror image of themselves with a foreign face. I think they still basically are socialized to want a Japanese man, right? So I think the more attention we pay to Japanese men, it can only help. And I think that has been one of the big kind of takeaways for the new Aeon, is just spending more time with Japanese men, learning from them, you know, whether that's speaking style or gaming style or just anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I still don't think it's done enough. I mean, you know, there are members here who are quite active with, you know, kind of Japanese Nampa line groups or Japanese gamers, but I still don't think it's really integrated to the extent that it could be. And I think that's maybe one possible future direction for people to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I know you spent a lot of time going after, you know, kind of extreme girls, whether it's gals, you know, Black Diamond Circle active girls, or heading into weird places like Matsuyama or Shizuoka to meet girls or to game there. What are some of the things you learned going deep into subcultures and smaller cities?
Well, I mean, I've talked a bit about this a bit in the book I've been serializing and just in other places. But I initially didn't do this by choice. I mean, my work placement just happened to be in these areas, but it actually ended up being one of the best things for me at the time. And one of the advantages of gaming in places other than Tokyo is that you get this kind of unfiltered chance to interact with Japan in a way that you kind of don't in Tokyo. Because even the Japanese people in Tokyo who aren't very internationalized and don't have foreign friends or acquaintances and don't go out of their way to travel to other countries or maybe learn English, they're still comparatively internationalized and exposed to foreigners in comparison with people in maybe Hiroshima or Nagasaki or even Fukuoka. So I think there's this kind of unfiltered access or this kind of chance to approach them and interact with them on their own terms, rather than having this sort of pre-exposure, this more kind of possibly stereotypical exposure to foreigners. And it certainly gives a different perspective in terms of interacting with girls. I mean, I wasn't, when I was gaming in Matsuyama or Fukuyama, Okayama, Shizuoka, I wasn't able to fall back on English or any kind of foreign reference points or shared interests or experiences. So it did force me to kind of jump into a Japanese context and kind of inhabit it more fully than I maybe would have if I just stayed in Tokyo, and, you know, things like international parties or whatever would have been a more, you know, easy access to me. And I might have ended up getting sucked into just hanging out with foreigners more than exclusively spending time with Japanese people or Japanese gamers.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Every time I get into the smaller cities in Japan, I'm pleasantly surprised by a lot of things, including just, well, you know, the personality of people there. I think they're in general a bit warmer than they're in Tokyo. But also, you know, there's just fewer foreigners. There's not so many stereotypical tourist type people, or, you know, you have more of a chance. It's almost like they give you more of a fresh slate to work with because they don't have as many. They're not like, oh, this is Otaku Bro from.
Yeah, I remember. I remember I was doing game in Matsuyama City in maybe like 2009 or 2010 or so, and I would get girls just literally just stopping and staring once I tried to approach them or talk to them, and it wasn't even really from interest. I mean, I think it was just more like shock. I mean, they just didn't really know how to deal with it or process, you know, street approaches from a foreigner. And honestly, I think some of my favorite memories are from that time period of just coming in totally fresh and kind of engaging with people again without too much, without too many preconceptions or kind of prior experiences, which girls are more likely to have in Tokyo. So I think in general, I mean, like areas other than Tokyo are still vastly undergamed in Japan. I mean, Osaka's fairly, I think there's still a fairly active scene out there, but anywhere other than that, I mean, again, Fukuoka, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, or certainly any kind of like smaller city, at least in terms of the foreign population, I mean, they're just massively underfished or undergamed, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see people getting a bit more on that too, because there's some just stunning girls in these cities, and I think the thing with Tokyo is that you have a higher volume, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a higher percentage of desirable or attractive girls. I mean, in terms of sheer volume, maybe, but I think the overall percentages are quite similar wherever you are. So I would definitely recommend if someone's got a chance to hit up the countryside or hit up some of these smaller cities, give it a shot, because you're most likely going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I just got back from Fukuoka, and it's not like the most minor city ever. It's pretty big, actually, but I had a blast. I mean, I'll be putting out some videos and talking about what my experiences there were. It was pretty absurd, I would say, to say the least.
Yeah, I have some pretty absurd memories and stories from Hiroshima that I'm trying to detail in this book that I've been serializing on the site. But yeah, if you have the time and the means, you can go very hard in other parts of Japan that aren't Tokyo, and I think that's still kind of underexplored as well. There's this assumption that Japan equals Tokyo, and that's very much not the case. And I do find that girls have a different perspective, and they're often more open and more, I don't want to say more sincere, but certainly maybe less guarded than women in Tokyo who are used to dealing with, you know, either daily approaches, or they're quite inured to foreigners, or quite used to their perspective or their maybe stereotype of what foreigners are about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was your experience? What was your interest and experience in gals originally, gyaru, and how did that end up going towards Black Diamond and running off into meet certain members of them?
I think I was on the internet in maybe like the late 90s, and I saw some pictures of, I can't even remember the context, but I saw some pictures of gals from similar time period, like late 90s. I think it was about 1998 or 9 or so. And this was when they were still referred to as kogyaru rather than just gyaru. And you know, these were very like, I guess you could call them like paleo gals, or very like primitive kind of form of the style compared with now. But something about it just really attracted me, and I was just really interested in these very dark skinned, kind of blonde Japanese women or Japanese girls. But there was no way for me to really engage with them or interact with them at the time. But I always kind of remember that. I always kind of remembered them and was interested in them, and I thought, well, if I ever do make it over to Japan at some point, I'm gonna have to
tap that ass.
try to do a bit of tapping, or try to engage with these girls in some way. And I eventually did make it over, but the problem was that there was just no framework for interacting with them or dealing with them. I'd never seen foreigners approaching them or interacting with them, and they certainly didn't seem particularly inclined to talk to foreigners or interact with foreigners, much less go home with them. So my initial strategy, again, this is detailed in the book, but my initial strategy was to make friends with Japanese gamers who seemed to have access to social circles that included them. And my idea was that if I provided these Japanese gamers access to maybe Western girls that I knew or that I was friends with, they would kind of reciprocate by introducing me to some gals. And that's sort of what happened. I mean, it didn't work out exactly as I anticipated, but I certainly got deeper into the scene through associating with them and spending time with them. And I probably started approaching gals seriously in about 2006 or 7. And I just immediately ran face first into a brick wall, because I had no fucking idea how to talk to them or deal with them. And my game was just, you know, primitive beyond belief. And my Japanese wasn't very good either. So I was just blowing out left and right. I mean, I was just happy to engage with them in any capacity, even if that was them just basically telling me to fuck off. So I started engaging with them pretty seriously around that period. And after meeting New Breed and sort of comparing notes with his experiences, when I returned to Japan in 2009, I started gaming them more consistently and with a bit more confidence, and that's when I started finally having some results and smashing through the brick wall and kind of into their headspace a little bit more. But it was still a vastly different scene. I mean, I think the status of gals in the present is, they're almost like zoo animals in a way. I mean, they're even by the time of Black Diamond, which was, you know, maybe about starting about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I mean, they're already kind of this endangered species, or this sort of curated and very managed species, as opposed to being kind of an organic, you know, fashion statement or fashion choice. So the number of circle active gals is certainly declining, and the number of what I would consider wild gals, as opposed to these carefully curated exhibits with their, you know, Gungro cafe or whatever. So I think that's certainly, I mean, I think in the present they're almost more like these kind of exhibits, or, you know, heavily curated. So I wouldn't even say they particularly exist in the present. I mean, you certainly do still see blonde, tan girls here, but it's not kind of this, it doesn't have kind of the same presence or maybe resonance that it once did, which is a shame. But I wasn't really happy with the direction. You know, I mean, I saw it tending in. I mean, I've pulled girls from Black Diamond. I went out to Shizuoka to pull that off, and, you know, I spent some time with them, but I wasn't even really happy with how curated or managed it was getting. And I think what remains of it is certainly a very insular and kind of a not particularly organic scene. But who knows? I mean, it might come back in the future. Something even more interesting might spring into being in the future. So
I remember one of the funny things that you mentioned about that scene is sort of like hacking your way into, like, pretending that you knew somebody's senpai or something because of something you read.
Yeah, one of my strategies was I would read the magazines fairly obsessively. I mean, I would read like Egg and Soul Sister fairly obsessively, and I would find ways to attend events of, you know, circles like Vivid or, you know, Jewel or some of these circles that were around at the time. And I would just talk to people, and I would just sort of like collect information about people's relationships or, you know, who people were. So then if I saw them on the street at a later time, I could come in and be like, hey, aren't you, you know, Iris Jr., or, you know, I'm friends with Anna-chan or something, don't you know her? And that was one way that I was able to sort of like hack my way into some of these rather, you know, insular social circles, or kind of get attention where maybe they would have just otherwise ignored me or, you know, blown me off. And that's still kind of an approach I recommend. I mean, I think the approach of the information-based approach of reading Japanese blogs, you know, reading Ameblo blogs or Cruise blogs, and, you know, kind of learning about the scene of the girls you're interested in, which again sounds kind of creepier, you know, kind of research heavy, but it's really not. I mean, you know, they're putting this information out there publicly, and you know, there's certainly a lot of girls who are, you know, celebrities in their own minds. So I don't think many of them are going to be particularly offended if you just confirm their own, you know,
yeah,
somewhat egocentric worldview of random people do know who you are, you know. So I don't think anyone's going to be particularly put out if you, you know, kind of know who they are or put in some time to find out what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly in this age of like Instagram, and I mean that's blowing up now even more than blogs everywhere. So yeah, I would still recommend that approach, you know, familiarizing yourself with a scene in the abstract before engaging with it in real life, or maybe making an attempt to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Information, yeah, it's always powerful. Always knowing, you know, knowing whether it's brands or styles or what type of fashion she is, or where, what kind of clubs she's likely to go to, who her senpai might be, or who her boyfriend or lover.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of tried to stress this in our book, particularly in the subculture and fashion chapter, but it's still a real blind spot. I mean, apart from a few dedicated or motivated individuals like the boy named Crow, who I think has posted an article recently.
Yeah, he's
put one up. There's a few people trying to engage in kind of a deeper way with, you know, with the culture, with subcultures. But it's still, even in the new aeon, I mean, it's still sort of a blind spot. I mean, you get these gamers coming up and claiming they're interested in these girls, and I kind of wonder why sometimes. I mean, I almost wonder if they're not just, you know, giving into peer pressure, or if this is a real organic interest in these girls versus, you know, these guys like them, so I probably should too, you know. But I think it's still a bit of a blind spot with people not necessarily knowing much about the girls they're going after, or making much of an effort to see things from their perspective.
Yeah.
Rather than just, oh, she's hot, I like her, you know. Which, fair enough, I mean, that's an honest, you know, reaction. But
yeah,
I think that's a bit old eon, or maybe, you know, a bit first thought, you know, to sustain much beyond that.
Yeah, well, it's like what we always ask on the boot camp is, like, what kind of girls do you like? And so many guys are just like, well, I like hot girls or cute girls or whatever.
Yeah, I never know what to say to that. I mean, to me, that's just like a totally content-free statement. I mean, I literally have no idea what they're talking about. If they say, oh, I just like hot girls, or I want the hot ones, well, okay, like, can you give me some body measurements here? You know, can you give me some physical measurements? Can you give me some stylistic, you know, choices? Like, specificity is very much an important concept, which I think kind of goes neglected. And again, as we were contrasting this with maybe the game scene from 10 years ago, where you just had to take some motherfucker's word that HB7 in his little write-up was your internal ideal girl as well. But, you know, I'm not a very trusting person in some ways, so I need specifics and proportions and information.
Specifics and body measurements, seems like you have a pretty specific body measurement you've been going after recently.
Yeah, I've been kind of focusing on like more athletic, taller kind of girls, you know, whether that's like actual literal professional athletes, which I've been dipping into recently, or girls who kind of fit that profile, because you know, I've been interested in kind of more sort of sporty or kind of athletic girls for a while, but that's kind of the direction I seem to find myself going in at the moment. But I always like to, that may change in the future. I always like to kind of explore, you know, fringe groups of girls or sort of non-standard or maybe non-mainstream areas of Japanese girls, you know, whether that's gals or whether that's, you know, MMA fighters or pro basketball players or, you know, hairdressers, hostesses, whatever. I do find the idea of specialization quite interesting, and girls who are willing to distinguish themselves in some way or kind of be outstanding in a way, because Japan is a very sort of a conformist or sort of a, you know, middle of the road society where probably the majority of girls would describe themselves as just a normal person or just a normal girl. I mean, that's very much sort of their risol or their kind of ideal and their self-image. So I think there's always that sort of, you know, being Westerners, I mean, we're sort of conditioned from the womb to, you know, bite when there's this, you know, outstanding individuality or a bit of a distinction going on there. So I think we're maybe a little bit more trained to go for that, given our backgrounds, than maybe Japanese gamers are. I mean, I still, even the more active Japanese gamers, I notice that the majority of them still tend to target these very Ebi-chan kind of, you know, elegant first-year office ladies or university students. I mean, that's still very much their go-to targets, which, you know, good for them. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we're maybe left to explore the fringes a little bit more and hopefully give some loving to, you know, weird girls who need it.
Yeah. I think also, just that I feel like that happens over time as well, because at the beginning I was just happy to get laid in general, and then, you know, a couple hundred girls later I'm like, okay, let's find somebody like different, you know. I don't need another, you know, 5 foot six.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like, I would hope that's another kind of new Aeon trait as well, is, you know, adventurousness or willingness to explore the fringes, willingness to, you know, maybe dive into insular subcultures or dive into slightly more inaccessible girls, as opposed to just rocking up at, you know, the international party like clockwork every weekend, or rocking up at the hub like clockwork every Saturday night, which, again, there's nothing particularly wrong with that, but it doesn't really push the boundaries. It doesn't really expand the kind of cross-cultural experience here much, and doesn't really add much to what people are getting.
Yeah. So, I mean, on that note, I guess, what are some unexplored or underexplored areas of game where you'd like to see newer guys getting involved in?
I'd like to see more, I guess, social circle kind of game and kind of a deep penetration, pun intended, kind of more insular and more kind of social circles. And I think this is kind of like the, this is almost a bit like the Holy Grail or the Purple Unicorn, because, I mean, people have been talking about this since way back in the day. I mean, there's always been this kind of, I think there's always been this acknowledgement that deep penetration and, you know, social circle game in Japan is kind of like the next frontier. But there's actually very few people who've kind of managed it consistently. I mean, there's certainly been people who've, I mean, you know, like we have a fairly impressive sort of party ecosystem where we're able to, you know, get people out regularly. And we've, you know, we've kind of explored into some of these, you know, night worker or, you know, kind of gal areas. But I think there's still this sense in which having a more kind of consistent access to levels of girls, or almost like professional levels of girls, is still kind of underexplored. And I think that's really the next sort of frontier direction that I'd like to see people going in. I mean, you know, like what we do with the boot camps and what we ideally do with the site and with the books and the courses is, you know, kind of inculcate or kind of teach these sort of general relational principles that will, you know, allow foreigners to not seem like a total fucking alien when they're talking to, you know, women here. But I still think that's sort of a foundational level, and I think there's definitely a lot of, you know, more development to be done with sort of getting into these more out of the way social circles, or maybe accessing kind of more fringe groups. I mean, you know, there's been some interesting people over the years. Like there's been a few. There was one gamer who I actually taught with a little bit, who was very into like cabin attendants and Japanese flight attendants, and he sort of like wrote the mini Bible on, you know, gaming them. And, you know, like we were saying, the boy named Crow, he's been going into some, you know, kind of fashion and music circles recently. So, you know, there's always people kind of dipping their toes into interesting areas. But I think that's what I'd really like to see for myself, is people getting more kind of consistent social access, and kind of like building a sustainable ecosystem, rather than just carrying out these kind of smash and grab raids on the streets, yeah. Which, you know, are always massively entertaining and fun, but maybe don't necessarily have much future behind them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think the interesting thing with with social circles, of course, it's like it's not like any social circle, right? Like, it's not like just assemble, you know, six people who will hang out with you, and then you have a, you know,
yeah.
It's important that it's, you know, it's a high quality. It's like people, yeah, are some, you know, models.
I think we've talked about this recently, and we kind of noted that a large number of gamers are still very much like living hand to mouth, and
yeah.
They don't have much. They don't have much reciprocity. They're not super able to, you know, maybe throw girls at their friends or hook up their friends, or maybe, you know, create sustainable, you know, kind of events or anything like that. So there's still I think there's still this kind of underlying basic thirst that a lot of gamers are operating under, which is fine as a starting point, but hopefully, I mean, I would personally like to see more people sort of, you know, graduating or developing to a more kind of sustainable or kind of deeper integration. So even to the extent of sort of like we do with the seminars and with the boot camps, where we actually do get Japanese women to come out and just coach the students themselves, you know, give them advice and come in on it. I think Japan is a very, Japanese people are very sincere, and I don't think they're ideologically opposed to Nampa, provided that it comes from a place of respect and sincerity and kind of like a genuine willingness to engage with the culture and sort of hear out and respect their perspective. So that's always kind of been the holy grail for me, and I always get very excited when I do see Japanese women coming out and sort of scolding the students or trying to help them up by their bootstraps to attain kind of a greater actual understanding of what maybe, you know, the female perspective here is. So that's another kind of a future area that I would like to see explored more.
Yeah. And we've always brought out some pretty savvy girls to
There's no shortage of them, and I do think there's a certain maybe boredom present with Japanese women at present. Their society certainly is quite stultifying in some respects. So I think they are kind of always ready to. I think they are kind of quite excited when people are coming in from a genuine attempt to communicate or kind of understand them or kind of bridge that cultural gap and, you know, not just climaxing in two seconds.
I'm always surprised, actually, by the fact that, I mean, every serious girlfriend I've had, and I've had probably pretty serious girlfriends for the most of the time I've been gaming in Japan, how almost all of them have known, I've told them, you know, I've been, look, I do this, I teach this, and they're all really cool with it, to the point of coming and actually helping out.
Certainly.
But it's interesting because a lot of guys come in. I think this is actually one of the things that determines success or failure on street approaches often is, do you actually believe what you're doing is normal, and or is it shameful, like some activity sneakily do before anybody notices
you? In my experience, I mean, I think they are very sensitive to like what I would call sort of like deep sincerity, and this is maybe a concept that could do with a bit of a unpacking or maybe exploration. But I think there is a sense where if you do have what we would call maybe like an open heart or just kind of a openness, and you're not trying to graspingly get something from them, I think they're basically going to respect your intentions, regardless of how hard you kick it or, you know, how fast you try to, you know, bounce back or whatever. I think if you basically, you know, treat them respectfully and come in with a sincere mindset and try to understand them, then they're gonna have a positive response, or at least that's definitely been my experience as well. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I don't really super try to hide what I do or, you know, kind of lead people on, you know, false premises or anything. So I do feel there is this kind of established sort of like Nampa ecosystem here, which most women are more or less tacitly familiar with, and, you know, they, depending on the guy, they're going to be less, you know, more or less receptive to it. But I don't think it's too,
it's sort of just like boys will be boys kind of.
And I don't think it's super far out of the reality. And I noticed, like, I mean, there's obviously, like, you know, this isn't I don't think we're trying to like whitewash Japan and, you know, say that it's this like paradise or, you know, perfect society. I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of serious social problems and, you know, abuses of women going on. I mean, you know, we had the kind of Ito Shiori, you know, rape case recently, which was I think kind of a watershed. And so, yeah, I mean, there's certainly these things which, you know, deserve attention, but at the same time, I mean, I'm quite suspicious of what I would consider, you know, kind of a naively good intentioned Western attempts to reform Japan for its own good and, you know, inculcate the proper amount of shame and, you know, gender guilt and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I think I think it's possible to have kind of a balanced perspective while still recognizing that it is a fundamentally different and very old society with its own set of assumptions and kind of a set of operating principles, and we don't exactly need to turn it into you know, the most liberal part of San Francisco or whatever, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, it's funny because, yeah, you get people who will come to Japan and be like, I can't believe they treat the women like this, but then, like, all of a sudden, like, defend random Middle Eastern nations or whatever, right? So, but anyway, so I'm interested actually to ask you, what are some of the biggest differences in how you gamed, the way and the manner, what your goals were from, you know, from 5 years ago compared to now? Like, how has that changed? How has that evolved?
I want to say the biggest sort of evolution is probably just in terms of precision. Like, from my perspective, like, 5 years ago doesn't even seem that long ago, really.
Yeah, well, but, could add 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, certainly 10 years ago is another... 10 years ago is completely different. 5 years ago, I would say increased precision, increased focus. And this is something I remember Newbreed talking about as well, before he left Japan. He said that in his last, you know, maybe half year in the country, his game got a lot more precise and a lot more sniper focused. I mean, he was approaching a lot less, but still getting essentially the results he was going for. And I would say my game at present is quite similar to that. I mean, I'm actually quite well pleased with my game at the moment. And I do think I would put that down to efficient use of time rather than just, you know, maybe spam use of time or just, you know, dumping in hours without necessarily achieving much. And I think that is something that kind of comes naturally over time, is just being able to get equal or superior results with much less time investment and much less kind of effort. I'm also very time conscious recently, and I feel like I don't want to call it a sixth sense, but I'm much better able to identify things which will maybe not work out or which maybe will just be a waste of time. And I almost kind of like preemptively push it to that point. So if I'm talking to a girl or if I'm trying to set something up with a girl and I get a certain vibe that it's maybe gonna be a hassle or gonna be a waste of time or gonna not end ideally, like, I can more accurately sort of like pinpoint that. Mm. And I will just deliberately try to push it to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to see if it goes there. Because again, you know, I consider my time quite valuable, and because I am getting essentially the results that I want and that are ideal for me at the moment, I do still feel open to experimentation. I'm still quite excited when I do game, but I do look at it more as almost like a chance to explore and maybe feel for boundaries or like feel for new frontiers or edges or something, rather than just, you know, satiate my own random smash and grab, you know, or try to, you know, pump some lay count to wherever, you know, like what I would consider quite, you know, basic areas of things now. So, I mean, I guess my focus at the moment, other than just trying to contribute to a healthier foreigner game or a Japan game ecosystem here and you know, trying to help people and get them on the path, is maybe just trying to freely explore in a way that I maybe wasn't able to in the past because I was too, you know, fixated on, again, trying to go hard or, you know, get certain results or do something. So I feel there's this kind of weird freedom at the moment where I can just kind of push into weird areas and kind of explore weird areas with more precision, but also with more kind of a freedom in some ways.
Yeah, I definitely I feel you on that one. Yeah, for sure. I do think that like your goals in game definitely naturally evolve over time, like you were saying. You know, at the beginning, it's a lot about hand to mouth. I just need to get laid.
Well, you have to. I think the big crossing the abyss or the real big breakthrough is just demonstrating to yourself that it's possible and workable.
Right.
Because a lot of gamers don't even reach that point. And I think that's sort of the Indiana Jones leap across the abyss, or jump across where the ground is littered with the bodies of those who didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the real central sort of crossing abyss, or proving to yourself that not only is it possible, but it's sustainable and you can do it, because so I think that that's really sort of the most critical development point of game is reaching that point. And we see so many gamers around us at the moment trying to get there and trying to reach a point where they feel that they've done it and they're okay now. They can give themselves a certificate of achievement. and then they're good, right? And I think like in kind of a weird way, that's almost where a real game begins rather than finishes.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of gamers who kind of either bitch out or fail out before then, or sort of reach that point and then just get married or get a girlfriend or whatever. So I think the ability to continue gaming past that point is where the real developments happen, or where the real interesting sort of next level or sort of new Aeon kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's certainly a few active gamers at the moment who are in that territory and actually making kind of interesting contributions or interesting developments.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's really where the next level stuff is really going to take off, is people who make it past that point and then keep going, and kind of find their own kind of area to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's all sorts of like traps, and some of them seem very seductive, where one might be, a girl that you think you really like, and maybe you do really like her. I had that several times along the way. I was like, well, look, I could just marry this girl, or I could just whatever, right?
And knock her up or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've almost gotten married several times, man. I mean, it's certainly it's very, staying the path long term is not certainly easy.
Yeah,
there's that aspect to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's always temptations at every turn to do something, to focus on something else, to do something else, to settle down with a girl.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the time, if you might have been happy to a certain degree with that choice, but there's more work to be done, kind of.
Yeah, I think the main thing that's kept me in the game so long is the feeling that there's still new ground to be explored. I mean, I've gone through periods where I've felt more or less bored with game, or more or less inclined to just get married or just do whatever else. But I think there's always been that sort of glimmer in the distance of something, that there might be just something around the corner, and there actually still is new territory to be explored. And that's sort of the thing that's kept me sort of focused and kept me in the game, whereas otherwise I might have just peeled off or gone in some direction. But I still have seen things. I do think it has been a real progression and development over the past 10 years or so, and I am kind of still excited by what foreign gamers are doing in Japan, and they've certainly come a long way. I mean, it's definitely been a real kind of evolution and development, so I think there will be exciting new things around the corner, and mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what people come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people from the outside looking in would say that, you know, game kind of ruins your ability to settle down, you know, or to find a wife or something. What do you think about that? The fact that game allows you that, you always kind of know in the back of your mind that you could go out and meet a girl and bring her home, and, you know, how are you going to be able to settle down? How is anybody, any of us, going to be able to kind of settle down or to be with a girl for long term, or is that even a goal that should be desired?
Right. Well, I think this is an issue that is not necessarily specific to gamers. I mean, I think this is kind of like a maybe convulsion or sort of a you know interrogation or something that the wider society is kind of going through at the moment as well. So I wouldn't necessarily say this is like limited to gamers. I mean, you know,
for people like celebrities or sports stars or people who have access to lots of women.
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, certainly our society's record of people with massive abundance doesn't tend towards an exclusively, you know, monogamous direction. You know, whether families are involved, you know, whether marriage and children are involved or not, it doesn't tend towards a super exclusivist direction. Cool. Except in certain exceptions. Like I was reading an interesting article recently about Woody Allen and Sun Yi.
Yeah.
And I think who've been together for like, you know, 20, 25 years or whatever, but I think the big part of their bond was just everyone attacking them 24/7 constantly. So like if you're in a bunker with someone and the entire world is firing missiles, you're probably going to form a pretty strong fucking bond with them, right?
That's true,
so yeah. I think that's sort of what happened in that case, whereas if they maybe hadn't have faced as much scrutiny or aggressive attacks, they maybe wouldn't have bonded so strongly. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't limit it to gamers. I mean, I think gamers are maybe on the kind of forefront, you know, in living this sort of extreme or maybe accelerated lifestyle where they're able to confront these issues in maybe a sort of accelerated form. But I don't think there are issues particular to gamers necessarily. I mean, I feel that the wider society is sort of going through this sort of convulsion as well, where it sort of looks at, well, you know, is that sort of you know, grandparents sort of monogamous marriage with kids and the accredited mortgage, you know, really, really what we want? And, you know, probably for a lot of people, it kind of isn't, you know, but there are people for who it basically still is. So that's where I think most of the tensions are coming out. And I've certainly encountered these tensions myself. I mean, there was a girl I was going to marry, and I probably still would in some ways, but the tensions pushing us in different directions sort of led us down different paths, despite the you know, mutual respect and sort of love that we had for each other. So maybe gamers, we could say, are sort of like the canaries in the mine in sort of experiencing these tensions, but I think they basically are present in the wider culture, and not necessarily just for, you know, celebrities or right. You know, Dan Bilzerian or whatever, you know, whoever, right? Yeah. So
well, you're referring kind of to people's recent modern desire to have 8 non-monogamous kind of relationships and stuff like that, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think that also, like, throughout history, men who have had the ability to, whether that's because they're extremely powerful or for whatever reason, tend to sleep with a lot of women, right? Tend to have harems or multiple wives or whatever, right?
Right.
That's just kind of how it's always been, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting criticism, at least. I mean, it's one that commonly is leveled at gamers, at
right,
the very least.
Right,
but
yeah.
Not only gamers, but...
Right.
But ultimately, I think it's just doesn't stand up to what, like, male human nature is.
Right.
And I think most guys, if they had the ability to sleep with large amounts of women, would probably have a hard time continuing
right,
to
right.
be monogamous.
Yeah, I guess the point where I start to worry is where there's this sort of... there's this sort of like resentment backlash, you know, we could say with like the whole like incel movement and, you know, this sort of, this very, kind of, I don't know how to describe it, like instrumentalist kind of, everything's fucked, you know, we can't get better.
Yeah.
You know, women are fucking sluts on the cock carousel and hypergamy. And,
yeah.
You know, I think there's this very like punitive kind of resentment based, kind of subculture.
Well, that's because they don't believe in the idea of game, right? I mean,
well, certainly,
I think
that's where the idea of game becomes interestingly transgressive, because if you really, at least the positive idea of game for me is this sort of transgressive idea that, you know, a basically ugly or maybe poor or maybe, you know, disadvantaged in certain aspects, dude, can actually improve his circumstances. Because I think a lot of people on both sides don't really like that idea.
Right. That's
you know,
true.
And
yeah.
I think that is a rather transgressive idea in some ways.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain liberal, or, you know, maybe we could say like SJW kind of contingent that is like, you know, who are these, you know, creepy, poor, ugly, chubby bros to try to, you know, punch above their weight? And then, you know, correspondingly, on the incel side, there's also this, well, who are these poor, you know, chubby, ugly bros to punch above their weight?
Right.
You know, surely they can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think anytime someone is like, well, what if they could, or what if they
right.
did? You know, I think there's a certain discomfort or kind of,
true.
You know, we were joking recently about the whole, like, someone, one of our acquaintances or one of our friends made this comment about someone's genetics or something. And I think this whole mindset is very, kind of cracks me up, because in practice and in real life, we've seen, you know, all manner of men, you know, just go above and beyond in what they're able to achieve and get.
Right.
So I think there is this kind of uncomfortable transgress, you know, this kind of a status quo that kind of would be more comfortable if that couldn't be the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it sort of is the case. So
yeah.
I think that's the point where maybe, you know, gamers and, you know, I like to think of us as, you know, basically progressive minded gamers who, you know, we're not sitting around harping on, you know, why isn't it the 1950s anymore? Like, I don't think we're, you know, sitting around trying to, you know, time travel back to churning butter past or whatever. You know, but I think there is this kind of, you know, kind of uncomfortable discomfort with this kind of idea that men can just be positive and approach women and disregard, you know, social hierarchies to
right.
a certain extent, because I do feel like there is this kind of tacit investment in hierarchies, maybe from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get maybe the incels who
yeah,
are actually quite attached to certain hierarchies
right.
in a weirdly negative way.
Well, it's like
but
the Elliot Rodgers thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like, he's
yeah.
like, I'm good looking. I have,
yeah.
I'm rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't I have, where are my women, right?
Yeah, well, that's certainly like the, I don't know what you would call it, like hereditary privilege,
right.
you know, kind of entitlement. And, you know, and from another perspective, you might get this kind of, you know, liberal or SJW kind of reaction of, you know, who are these, you know, ugly, poor dudes to be expecting that they can, you know,
right.
command women's time or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the idea that you can spontaneously cut across social hierarchies is kind of a uncomfortable and, you know, somewhat transgressive idea that... you know, various factions or various, you know, strata of society aren't really comfortable with. And I think you notice this even with some of the more well-known, you know, gamers, where after a certain point, they do very much become, well, you know, now that I'm rich and successful, I can get married. Or, you know, now that I've established myself and sowed my wild oats, I can, you know, settle into the, you know, kind of traditional path. And
right.
I think it's maybe, I wouldn't really say our duty, but I do find it interesting when we sort of maybe destabilize some of these assumptions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe cut across both sides to get at something maybe a little bit different or a little bit more primal about how people interact.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's super cool to me. I think that's all kind of the ultimate, I don't know, not saving grace, but like shining the peak, I guess, in a certain way of games, I guess, philosophical promises is its ability to overcome the tyranny of, you know, where you can meet people, right?
How you can meet people,
what you can, yeah, you should, yeah, say, what your level is, right?
Certainly, yeah, yeah. And I've always, I think that's the thing that I've always reacted most strongly negatively against, is the idea that there are hierarchies of humans based on, you know, hereditary privilege or genetics or finances or any of this. I mean, I don't react very well to that idea, to put it mildly, and I think to a certain extent all of my game has kind of been an attempt to disprove that idea or kind of you know, bound over or kind of invalidate that idea, because I think most of my relationships or most of the interactions with women I've had that have been most important or meaningful to me, certainly would never have happened unless I had, you know, somewhat aggressively and, you know, proactively applied myself to doing things that I never would have had, you know, natural access to. So
yeah, yeah.
I think that's sort of where, why I still consider it, you know, valuable or still meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, well, it's been...
I think we've had a pretty good discussion here.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good point at which to
call it a day.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having it. And I'm really excited with the direction that the site is going in, that the course is going in, and that Foreign Game in Japan is going in. So...
yeah. All right, guys. Well, everybody, let me know your thoughts, your comments, whether it's, I don't know if there will be a comment box or something, but, you know, you can PM me on the playbook.
Come out with your thoughts. Yes. Drop some thoughts.
Yeah.
Drop some comments.
Everybody, be sure to check out the playbook.club.club. That is the forum of the year and the decade, probably, to be fair. That's where everybody is active and posting, and if, you know, it's important to feel like a member of the community. So, yeah. And, yeah, man, it was great.
It's good. It was a good discussion, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Always proud.
See you guys.
Peace out. Next time. Peace.